Pnimius and the Daf Yomim Gemara Brachos Daf Mem Vav. The Gemara Mem Vav Amud Aleph begins with a interesting story with a lot of funny details. Rabbi Zera Chalash, Rabbi Zera one time was sick, so Alagabe Rabbi Avohu, so Rabbi Avohu went to go visit him in Kabbalah, and he accepted the following upon himself to bring a refuah to Rabbi Zera. He said, "I mitfach katina charich sake, if this little man with his burnt legs is healed, Avidna Yomatova Rabbanan. I'll make a yontif for Rabbanan. I'll make a festival. It'll be great." So that happened. Itvach, he was cured. So Avad Sudatul Kul Rabbanan, and he followed his promise. He made a suda for all the rabbis. So Kimata Lemishra Amrle Rav Zera. So when it came time to break bread and to begin, he said to the Rav Zera, Lishle Lan Mar, okay. Well, would you, Rabbi Bo says, Rabbi Zera, please, Master, please, Meir, break bread for us, lead us. So Amar Lehi said, Lo Sabar La Meir, Lahad Rabbi Yochanan, you don't think Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar says, Bala Bayis Lotea, that the Bala Bayis, that the one who's the hosting it, so it's Rabbi Bo's party, so he's hosting it, that he should break the bread. So Sharaluhu, so he did it, Rabbi Bo did it. Kimata Levaruche, when it came time to make the bracha, yeah, Amar Lehi, Nevarach Lan Meir. He said, okay. Rabbi Zera, it's time now. Bench, lead us in benching. So Amar Lehi said, "Lo Sarav Lamar Lahad Rav Huna to Ben Bavel." You don't hold Rav Huna from Bavel. The Amar says, "Botzei Mevarich," right? And he replies, he says, "What you don't hold that the Botzei, you who were Botzeiah should also lead the benching." And that's the story in the Gemara. So Rav Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern and Shiras Yaakov helps us get into a little bit understanding, a few details of this. Firstly, what kind of name is this? Why call him the small man? Why reference his burnt legs? And where else do we find in Shas a precedence, that someone would make a suda to cure someone, that you can go to Hashem and say, hey, look, cure this guy, and if you do, I'll make a suda on his behalf. It's a weird request. So he explains, actually using, he starts off with a story that's maybe said to Derech Malitza, but he says there's a big sod in it. The story is told over the B'nai Sassler, that in those days they used to have some of the chumashim that were printed had on the shard de fos on the front page, there was some sort of image of Moshe and Aaron drawn, that somebody, some artist at some point, in the printing house, wanted to put a fancy cover, so he put a picture of Moshe and Aaron. And what did he do? He made Moshe Rabbeinu very, very tall and thin, and Aaron a Kohen very small and heavier. So they brought it to B'nai Sassler and they said, what? This is a busha. How can it do it? He says, no. He says, it's actually in the Koran Chazal for this. Why? Because we have the Koran Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall. So that was very, very, he would be pashtus, just a very tall person. And we know Aaron was very short. Why? He says, because he needed to go on the milos, he needed to go on the steps in order to be made to the Saneros, in order to light the menorah. And we know that that height was only 18 tefachim. So he must have been pretty short if he couldn't reach that himself, if he needed to go up on the steps. And then he says that we know Moshe and Aaron are both considered equal, right? That they were shavim. So since they were shakulim ke'echa, they're equal like one, right? So, he said, b'derech tzachos, that you can say that mishkalim shava, that their weight was one. Meaning, so if a tall guy weighs the same amount as a shorter guy, the tall guy's going to be thin, and the shorter guy's going to be heavier. So he said, oh, okay, you can be matzdik, the picture that some artists drew in the chumashim that were popular in those days. And they explain, B'derech Chasidus, that if the B'nai Sester's telling the story, he's not just giving over, a nice joke, a nice cute way to, find the Maimar Chazal to make a picture that someone else did. It's obviously a deep sod. And it relates a little bit to the Inyan of what they represent, that Moshe Rabbeinu represents, it's called the sod Abba, right, which is, it stems from Chachma. The sod Abba is described, at least, obviously it's not a physical description, but it's described as being long and thin and dark and very thin. And it shines through from Chochma all the way down. And the Yesod Ima, which is what Aaron represents, which is the world of Bina, that represents, that's described as a shorter ore, that a light that, doesn't shine as far. Because that stems from the world of Bina. So it says you could tie it in, the Yisod Ima and the Yisod Abba is Aaron and Moshe. Moshe comes from Netzach, which is the side of Yisod Abba where it winds up, and Aaron is Kenegan Hod, which is where the Yisod Ima winds up. Okay, this isn't matches up Alpi Kabbalah. But now Rav Yitzchak Meir explains beautifully. He says, let's tie it into our story. He says, in our Inyan, Reb Zera's Inyan was Bina. Reb Zera came from this world of Ima. He brings a bunch of rats. We won't go into all of them. One of them is that the Zera, Zin Reish, Zion Reish Aleph, is Gematria Reish Ches, which is Yitzhak, which is the world of Bina. And he says, even the Gemara, right, that Rashi references, that why were his legs burnt, that he used to test himself in front of the Ish to see if Ish could, you know, if Ish had any power over him, right, that because Bina is called Ish, it's called the Ish of Bina, but that's Ish of Bina of Ruchnius. So he wanted to test himself where he was holding. He said, I know I represent the world of Ish of Bina of Ruchnius. Am I living to my potential that the Ish of Bina of Gashmius, right, that the Ish won't affect me? And that's what he was doing, and he was, you know, and really it shouldn't have affected him. But what happened? The Chachamim saw him, you know, the Chachamim Shaltu Ba'ina, they glanced at him, and then he wound up being burnt, and it scorched his legs. He says, why? Because when it comes to Chacham, right, so Chacham, obviously, the Chachamim represent Chachma, and Yisod Abba, and this Midah of Chachma coming down that Moshe Rabbeinu side of things. He says, when it comes to Chachma, Bina is considered a Yesh, right? Everything that when you go up in Madrigas, it's, the way it works in Panemius is that everything is a yesh, and the world above it is like an ayin. Like, you can't, you know, it's apples and oranges. It's incomparable. So it's true, the world of Bina for us, who live in the world of design mitzvahs, who live in the world of Gavul and the world of Spheros, Bina seems like an ayin sometimes. It seems like something so beyond. But from the world of Chachma, Bina seems like a yesh. It seems like something there is. And that yeshus, when you give something a yeshus, when you give something an actuality, it gives a place for the chitzonim to grab on. So it gives, it's called the chizas chitzonim. It gives a makom where negative forces, where klipa, where bad things could grab on, because now they have a yesh. There's a yeshus. There's something for them to grab onto, and it's really a sakana. So when the chachamim looked with chachma at the derech of zira, at this derech of bina, they created a yesh, and that really made a real issue. And there was a shvira in his netzach and hod, and we know from Tzach Eliyahu that netzach and hod are connected the two thighs, and that's why his legs were burnt, because they caused that pogrom in the netzach and hod of bina, right? And that's why the chacham and dafka, their eyes were like a kinoi to the majig of chachma. When they looked at it, they applied the chachma into the bina, and it caused a real issue in the bina, and it caused a real issue in him. And that's in general what ayin hara is. What ayin hara is when you look at something with a yeshus. And if you look at something and say, oh, this is a yeshus, it's not from Kaddish Baruch Hu. If I look at someone else's money and I say, oh, this guy has a lot of money, he has a lot of things. You look at someone's family and say, oh, this guy has the best family. They're always the best dressed, or they're always so cute, or they're always so well behaved. Those kind of things, put an ayam hara on it because you say there's a yeshus. Right? If you look at those same things, you say, wow, what a matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam that he has. What a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Look how much money Hashem gives him. Look what a beautiful family Hashem gives him. So that's tuva sign. That's a good thing. That's when you're looking at him, you're being the kasher, everything that person has, back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Tosefes Bracha, that's a beautiful thing. So when Reb Zera got sick, Reb Avoh understood that the reason for this machel, the reason for this sickness, was because the dinim were able to be oichiz on him, because there was a yesh in his netzach and his hod. There was a yesh in him, there was now a yesh. The fact that he had these burnt legs, you know, showed that there was an ayin hara was able to get in. And once the ayin hara was able to get in, once someone applied a yeshus, then he could get sick. Someone could grab him. So that's why he dafka called him katina, right? To meaning the, you know, the small one, that's charetzaki, that has the scorched leg, meaning he's referencing the makor of the machla. He's referencing the shoresh of that sickness. So when he wanted to be mantik, this yesh of bina, how did he do it? He specifically said, let's make a yomtiv for the rabbanon. Right. So, firstly, if you look at the way it's spelled, Yamatava Yud Mem Aleph Tes Beis Aleph. Right. So that's Gematria Samach Gimel. Samach Gimel is one of the Miloi Havaya. If you're not following the Kabbalah, it's okay. But it's Yud Kei Vav Kei spelled the following: Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalid, Hey is spelled Hey Yud, Vav is spelled Vav Aleph of Vav, Hey spelled Hey Yud. That equals Samach Gimel. That equals 63. Right. In this concept of 63, Yamatava 63 is the Madrega called Bina. In general, we have, so Arizal brings down that all the Yomim Tovim are really shaykh to Bina. He brings it down at the beginning of his Shar Kavanas by Pesach. So what's he saying? He was saying, yeah, it's true there's a Yeshus by Bina, but what? But that Yeshus comes in the Bina, you know, comes from a Yontif. And that Yontifs have Yeshus, but it's a good Yeshus. Meaning, it's the Makor of all Simcha, that if someone writes, that, you know, Yayin, which is secret of Bina, Yismach Levavi Enosh, right? That Yayin will sweeten, will make a person happy. So the source of a yomtiv of a simcha comes to the world of bina. So what you're saying, when you deal with the yesh of a bina in a right way for a good toeles, so that kind of toeles, you're going to make a hamtaka. You're going to sweeten that negative thing. And when he accepted upon himself to make a suda for all the chachamim, he was revealing. He's saying, you who used your chachamim and put your eyes on them and said, hey, Rabina, right, sorry, Rav Zera, who's the majority of Bina, now you're a Yesh, and that was why he was able to get sick. They'll understand, no, there's a Maila for Bina, there's a Maila on this level of this Yeshus. That's called it's the Makor Simcha, Simcha's Yantif, and the true Simcha, the Sefer Simcha. And so they'll say, oh, if we add a Yantif here, we'll make a special new Yantif, and you'll recognize the Kolk of Yantif. So, and that's why at the end, right, Rav Zera says to Ravo, he says, you should be Batzea, right? You should be the one to break bread. Because Baba is Botea, but meaning why? Because you know how to be Botea by and Yafa, right? That he knew how to approach things the right way. He says, you're the one who's going to split things and you're going to be able to do it the right way. But then at the end, by benching, he says, the Botea should bench because Tovayin Uyivarech. But that someone who's a good eye, we know he's someone who should give a bracha. Right, that anything you look at, you'll be able to give bracha on it. And that's why he kept pushing him. He said, I want you to break the bread. I want you to bench because you understood how to look at me the right way with ayin yafa, with a tuv ayin, how to remove an ayin hara, and how to be ma'amtik the dinim. So next after why he wants to give him he said, okay, you should be maybe bracha on him. And that's the concept that he was mitakin the bina. And he fixed, you know, this aspect of bina by understanding that the source of it is the makara of simcha, and the shorish of simcha, and yantif. And kind of showing and teaching the chachamim, he does come on to make him a tavel rabbanim to teach the chachamim at large that hey, don't look at somebody who has this derech of bina. And I think although this is very out there, and you know, if you're not holding these concepts, it might be a little bit difficult to follow. The message could be very clear for us, and there's an important message in that. Sometimes we see someone who has a derech of avodas Hashem that looks like a lower derech to us, that looks like a very yeshus, like maybe a gaivadik derech or a chitzonius derech, but everyone's judged on their own scale. So Reb Zera was from the world of bina. That was an ein. He was having a level of bittel. Because the chachamim were on this higher madriga in terms of spheros. I'm not saying that they were greater, right? Reb Zera also was a lashon of Zeir, but he's smaller. He was on some way a smaller madriga, right? Reb Zera was on this smaller madriga. He's sitting there and doing his avodah, and the chachamim were looking at him, and they caused real pain. They caused real suffering. Why? Because they looked at his avodah and said, ah, that's not good enough. They saw him playing around with the fire. They said, what are you doing? What are you messing around? What are you trying to show off? What are you doing here? And Rabbi Avahu, who was the big Anav, he was able to teach them, and he was able to teach them the sod that, no. People learn how to people make a yantif out of everything. You have to look at people with an ayin tova. Yeah, we're going to make a yantif. We're going to understand that every madriga, even if it seems like a lower madriga, has its milas, and there's a reason for each step. And there's, you know, every step is important in the channel and the staircase up to the Ribbono Shel Olam.